And now we are joined by Uncle Quentin, a Nam-based musician from Christchurch. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. A bit of an early one for you due to the time difference. Are you usually awake, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, or are you more of a nighttime person?
Unfortunately, kind of both. So I was up early this morning at 6 a.m. our time because I was speaking on RDU in Christchurch as well. So no sleep for me.
Oh, dear. Congratulations on the release of your single, Missing. It's quite melancholic yet optimistic. How would you describe this track to new listeners and what's been the driving inspirations behind it?
I suppose with this song, I just had an idea that it was just, you know, this idea of writing a platonic love song just about missing your friends. It just has a kind of bittersweet aspect to it. And I was thinking about one specific friend who lives on the other side of the world, but it's just, I suppose that there's a melancholy to it, but there's also a joy of that connection. And I think I was trying to, you know, express both of those things at the same time.
Do you dabble in platonic and romantic songwriting?
I don't often write romantic songs from my own perspective, but I think across this mixtape, which is coming out tomorrow, just to plug it, it's all of the songs are about people kind of snatching some sense sort of connection in the face of some sort of adversity, you know, whether that's interpersonal or, you know, societal or environmental. And it's, yeah, that's kind of the theme of everything there.
That's really beautiful. Would you say it's almost like a love letter to just connections?
Yeah. And I think it's, for me, I kind of thought it was all, it's about honoring those fleeting moments of connection, you know, in the face of the world that we live in today and the sort of terrors that everybody has to experience on a daily basis, and sort of honoring both of those things at the same time without one sort of negating the other.
Absolutely. Something I've noticed with the resurgence of vintage dreamy soul sound, which I would probably ascribe your music to, would you agree with that?
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. So from the likes of like Bobby Oroza or Cold Diamond Mink, is how clean they sound, but as opposed to what was being created back in the 60s or 50s. But with your music, you intentionally add back in a sort of grittiness and ways of adding like record crackles. At what point, in your music making, did you decide that little details like the record crackle or static were an integral part of the final product?
I really love the sort of conjunction of different types of fidelity and different types of sound quality, or, you know, the qualities of the sound itself, not the fidelity, sort of butting up against each other. So using, you know, something really, really digital and sort of harsh sounding right beside something really analog and warm sounding, and you know, like really clearly digitally modern sort of warped vocal, and putting that beside some, you know, some strings which have an old sort of tape or record crackle on it as well. And I think that the butting up of those two things, it's sort of a false nostalgia, and it adds a sense of sadness. But there's also, you know, all of those other evocative things with, you know, childhood and memory. So it's just, I love the joining all those things together and the sort of emotions that it provokes.
Yeah, it's definitely evocative. I think that's the perfect word for it. But it's also optimistic. It remains optimistic.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I love, you know, the leaning into the limitations of different types of things, whether that's sound or video, and, you know, in terms of crafts, you know, like I use an old knitting machine from the 60s, and I'm not a retro person by any sort of sense of the word, but I just I love the sort of anachronistic, you know, technology and things that are a bit obsolete, I suppose.
I think it's funny that you say you're not a retro person at all, because a lot of the visuals from your music videos do tap into that sort of moment in time, but then completely distort it.
Yeah, I think it's just that I'm not, I love the, you know, I love using that old imagery, but I'm hoping to sort of recontextualize it. It's, you know, and with all the songs, it's using these old, you know, sort of swoony 1940s and 1950s style singing and songwriting, but with the subject matter being pretty queer for most of it. You know, it's kind of reusing it in a way that people weren't really allowed to sing about those things at the time. So
yeah Absolutely. And for listeners who might not have seen Uncle Quentin's arts before, on all of your album covers, you're wearing a face covering, a balaclava to be specific, which makes for a very, very striking visual, as they're usually in colours like purple, red or green. Can you indulge us on this choice and how you've come to curate your visual identity?
Well, there's a lot of things contributing to it, but I suppose it's nice to think of Uncle Quentin as a sort of character that's being performed rather than just me, because in a sense sometimes I just find myself boring. But you know, when I inhabit this character, I can you know, then sort of go a bit further with it. But I suppose, you know, there's also sort of people that I love, like Christine and Lee Bowery, and sort of drag artists that have used this sort of imagery. And for me, it's just sort of paying tribute to and trying to go forward with this sort of scary and unsettling imagery that a lot of my heroes have made over the years.
Absolutely. I was just about to ask, as you were saying, that you have the separation between yourself as Tim and then the performer, Uncle Quentin, if there's a drag element.
I think there is. It's just, you know, it's Christine, who I just mentioned, I think, she, you know, I read her saying something a while ago where she's saying that, you know, drag and sort of queer culture should be weird and scary, and we shouldn't be sort of aiming to water it down for the common denominator. And I think that that formative element of it is hopefully something I'm aiming towards.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when something unsettles you, that can be a good thing.
And I like sort of being visually unsettling whilst singing these really swoony romantic songs at the same time. I think there's something that's unsettling of its own about that, you know, in there.
Yeah, it is such a fascinating contradiction, the sort of visual output that you have and then these croony songs. But to talk with you today and you're crooning about your friends and adversities, unlike, you know, maybe songs that have a similar tone to them, often singing about like wanting a man or something, maybe a little bit more trivial, I could say.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just trying to find a bit of sort of variance in these traditional forms and then sort of mucking with them to make it so it's not, you know, playing along with these tropes and in the same way that sort of fits in with sampling, where you're taking these different elements of things people expect, but then trying to muck with it and make it not what it appears to be at first is all part of that for me, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think you are rewarded the more you dig into your music. It's sort of there's uncoverings to what the initial image might look like.
Yeah. I've had quite a few people say that you know, the first time they saw the cover of this new mixtape that it was going to haunt their dreams. And I was like, well, you're welcome.
Well, that's one way to sell it. Yeah. We've got a Christchurch show coming up, right?
Yeah, so I've got my the launch party is Saturday night at Christchurch at Smash Palace. I'm hoping to come to Auckland in the new year, but just sort of trying to line some things up. So if there's anyone out there that's interested, please get in touch. I'm on Instagram at Uncle Quentin Music.
Yeah, absolutely. What else does the future hold in regards to your new music and shows?
Well, I think, you know, I used to play quite a lot when I was younger, and I stopped for many years. And I've written some songs for some other people. I wrote Dark Child for Mullen Williams. But for the last sort of 10 years, I've been hiding away somewhat. And so I think that with this new mixtape, I'm launching it to where I will be performing and I will be sort of continuing with it. I've kind of got that taste for doing it again. So hopefully there'll be more music and more gigs, and I'll just be sticking with it. So
yeah, well, congratulations on coming out of hiding. where would people be able to find your music?
So it's on Bandcamp and SoundCloud, where it can all be downloaded for free, and it will be up on Spotify from tomorrow. It'll all be available.
Perfect. Thank you so much for talking with us this morning. We're now going to play your track, Missing, by Uncle Quentin.
Cool. Thank you so much. I'm sorry for this.
to thinking, and I cannot speak. It has me sinking into my melancholy. I pick it up, I turn around, because I know you wouldn't want to see me down, down, down.
Such a lovely track there from Uncle Quentin with Missing. And the lyrics, I'll be there for you across space and time. Thank you to all the love everyone's been sending in to the BFM community. Let's play another one from Uncle Quentin. This is Closed Circuit.
Said it's clear.